So the Bible says in 1 John chapter 4, verse number 1, Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God. Because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Another verse I think of is 1 Timothy chapter 4, and verse number 1. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Do you see that? Giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. This is very real. These Bible verses are very real. The truth of the Scriptures is absolutely real. These things happen. These things happen daily. We are in a time right now of absolute deception, I believe, in most churches and among many people. There is strong delusion that has taken place, and many people are deceived. They don't go by what the Bible, you know, this Bible is not good enough for them. They've got to have some outward experience or something outwardly or some sign or lying wonder that will help them along, basically, or give them some knowledge, when all they really need to do is get into the Word of God and get into a local church and get the truth and the training that they need and be able to try the spirits. Let's pray, Father. Lord, we need you. We pray, dear God, that you'd help us. And Lord, we don't know what's going on with the equipment or what the problem is, Lord. We know you do, and we pray you fix it. Pray you take care of it, Lord, so the message could go out to help others. And Lord, we know that you'll help us get this recorded, Lord, so either way it'll go out to others and it'll be a blessing to them as well. But it's preached primarily and first of all for this body, Lord, for this assembly and for this church, Lord. And I just pray your Spirit fall upon us in great power. And Lord, and great discernment and understanding, that we would see the Scriptures, that you would enlighten us and give us the understanding that we need to accept and receive the message that you have for us today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. So too many Christians today are at least professing Christians. They seem to be following feelings and instincts and outward signs than following the pure words of God's book here. This is no longer their authority. Okay. Or never has been. Never has been their authority, really. And I believe a sharp warning is due to people to not play with devils or the devil's kingdom. You rebuke devils in Jesus' name. You don't play with them. You don't play with snakes. You get bit. All right? You don't play with snakes. You're going to get hurt playing with snakes. And you're going to get hurt playing with the devil. Remember, that devil is a roaring lion walking about seeking whom he may devour. He is there. He wants to destroy and to deceive. He is a deceiver. He is a liar and the father of it. The Bible says that he abode not in the truth. He was a murderer from the beginning and he abode not in the truth. And then no truth is of a lie, or no lie is of the truth. We've got to be able to war a good warfare. And we've got to be able to understand that we must try the spirits. We must try them. Don't play with devils. You make sure you understand exactly. There are so many people deceived today because they have went off of what their feelings and emotions are. They have went off what they feel is right and not what the Word of God says plainly. Do you know there are so many pastors that have preached things that are contrary to sound doctrine. They are contrary to things. They have followed those teachings because of a personality, or they've been captivated by that personality or the success of that preacher or anything else. And they have followed those things. They've followed things. And they've led to disaster in their lives because they weren't rooted and grounded in the Scriptures. So first of all, we've got to try everything by the Word of God. Ask yourself this question. What is my final authority? What is? As a Christian man, you must have a final authority. Now, everyone has one. Whether it's their emotions, whether it's their feelings, whether it's outward signs and manifestations, or whether it's devils, they have an authority. Whether it's himself, they have an authority. Turn to 2 Timothy chapter 3. We know these verses. We've read them many times. Verse number 16. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. It says all Scripture. Did you notice it says given by? It doesn't say was given, but given by. This is a living book. It's alive. No dead book could defeat a devil. You understand that? No dead book. You can't try the spirits with a dead book. You can't try the spirits with a book that is not inspired. The very words of God, you could not try the spirits like that. You would fail. You would fall for the cunningly devised fables. You would fall for the devil. Amen. That the man of God may be perfect. So what makes the man of God perfect? The word of God. What makes him complete, whole, having need of nothing? God's book perfects him. The very thing that you stay away from too much is what perfects you. That's something? The very thing that will make you a better Christian, the very thing that will make you a better father, the very thing that will make you a better man, make you a better wife, make you a better mother, you stay away from. It's the very thing that God has given you to perfect you. Amen? The Scriptures are all sufficient and inspired. Every sermon we hear, every thought or feeling that we have, or even so-called vision or scenes that we might see, should be tried by the very words of God. We're to try the spirits. Don't play with devils. Amen. The Bible is the basis and the only rule for faith and practice. It's it. It's the Word of God. It is the words of, these are the words of God, and these are what tries everything in your life. Everything that you do in your life is to be tried by this book. Amen. Everything tried by this book. Every man alive must have a final authority. Wherever we are having a discussion about the Bible or prophecy or anything else, the first thing you have to do is set the rules, set down the order, and ask them, define the terms and ask the person, what is your final authority? Because if their Bible, if the Bible is not their final authority, if they don't believe this book solely, that the all truth is in this book, this and there is no error. If they don't believe that, then you know what the problem. You know what's going to happen to them. You're never going to be able to have a decent conversation with that person, because you will find out in the end that they are trusting their feelings, they are trusting something else, they are trusting their own instincts, their own judgment, their own understanding. The Bible warns us: lean not on thine own understanding, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. So, what are all thy ways? Acknowledge him. How do we acknowledge him? By this book. That's how we acknowledge him. Amen? The Bible says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not on thine own understanding. Should visions be our final authority? Should dreams be our final authority? Should outward signs be our final authority? Should feelings be our final authority? Or should the very words of God be our final authority for everything? After all, if you're saved by him, you ought to believe his book. Because how can you believe his salvation and not believe his book? I don't have a lot of time for somebody that tells me that God's word isn't inspired. That was in the originals. I don't have a lot of time for that. Why is that? Why don't you? Well, the problem is because how can I have a conversation with a man that doesn't believe God's book is alive? What would I say to him? Let me get this straight. So you believe that the Holy Ghost of God dwells inside of you, but you read a dead book. How does that make any sense? It doesn't. It's double talk. Most people don't really believe that. They just repeat some mantra that somebody taught them in Bible college somewhere. They really don't believe that. They really know this book is inspired. Many of them do. Okay? They really believe that. They've just been taught that that's a taboo thing to say, or that's very, you know, it's amazing to me how somebody would think that that is such a strange thing to say, that this book is inspired. Well, you believe in double inspiration. I really don't care what you call it. I don't care what you call it. Oh, you believe in double inspiration. Really? Just listen to those two words and say them, double inspiration. I want you to think about that. First of all, that just sounds stupid, okay? It really does. Because if something's inspired and has life, it has life, okay? Is it doubly inspired? What does that mean anyway? Oh, is it directly inspired? Why wouldn't it be? Why? Well, you must be a Ruckmanite then. Why? Was Ruckman the first one that believed that God's book was alive? Really? Yeah, so for 2,000 years, nobody's believed God's book was alive and these were the very words of life? That's a scary place to be. So you take those words and you believe them for eternal life, but you don't believe them for every day? You don't believe that? How can you believe that? Doesn't make any sense. Too many people trusted in feelings and not the Word of God. You might eat too many nachos and have some bad gas. You better be careful about feelings. You better be careful about that. Amen. I know some people have some crazy feelings. They don't really add up, though, to the Scriptures. We must know the words of God, number one, if we really believe it's our final authority. The Bible says in Psalm 19:7, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. You want to know something about God? Well, don't look at dreams and visions and signs and wonders. Where you look at is the book. Amen? You look in the book if you want to know God. Why? Because God's word enlightens the eyes, the Bible says. Amen. His word does. Psalm 119:130, the entrance of thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the simple. It's a sad day we live in, but people do trust in visions, dreams, and signs more than they do the Scriptures. They really do. It's very scary. That's right. You and I have to have faith in God's word that they are true and perfect altogether. Psalm 12:6, the words of the Lord are pure words as silver, tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord, thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. God promised to preserve those words. He promised that they would be complete, that they would be there, they would be tried in the furnace of earth, purified seven times. You believe that? God promised we would have them and that He would keep them. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. God is the one that keeps them, not man. Amen. See? Well, study that word keep. You know, that makes a lot of people mad for some reason, especially when you start talking about eternal security. I get all kinds of people giving me flack over that and eternal life and everything like that. And they say, well, then if God's going to keep his Bible, his words, and he's going to keep and preserve your soul, I don't understand what the difference in those two is. Did God fail to keep his word? Well, then how could he fail to keep your soul? It doesn't really make a lot of sense, does it? I mean, words mean something in the Bible, right? They do still mean something, don't they? It's not what you feel or what you think. It's just sad because most people don't understand there's so many false converts. He said narrow is the way. But we don't like that. We want to believe that everybody that made a profession and lives like hell is saved. So if they're living bad and they're living wrong and they don't care about God and there's no evidence of the Holy Ghost in their life, we want them to be saved anyway because we don't want to believe that narrow way. We want it to believe it's a broad road. And we want to preach a broad gospel instead of a narrow one. Right, and that's the problem. So we see these people, then you have the other people on the other side that here's what they say. They say, well, I'm telling you. They lost their salvation. They were walking along someday, they sinned, and they just lost it. So how do you get born and unborn? How does that work? How does somebody go from being born, then unborn, born, then unborn? How do you do that? How many times can you do that? There's only one second birth, not two or three or four or five. There's one. Amen. There's one. There's one birth that you come into this world, and there's a second time that you're born again. You're not born again, 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 and again. Seems simple. Seems simple what it means to be a son of God. I think people complicate things too much. Anyway, we're promised by God that we have a more sure word of prophecy. Turn to 2 Peter chapter 1, verse number 19. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that you take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star rise in your hearts, knowing this first, that no prophecy is of the Scriptures of any private interpretation. Listen, here's one of the problems that we see here. People don't want to believe that this is a more sure word of prophecy. They don't want to try the spirits against this. They want to try the spirits against their own understanding, against their sign or their vision or their wonder or their speaking in tongues or anything else or any of those other things. They want to try it against that, but they don't want to try it against the more sure word of prophecy. You know what happens to people when you try it against the sure word of prophecy and they're not doing that? They get angry with you. They get angry with you. And they already have all the answers. And anything you try to say to them is not going to matter because they've already got it figured out. They saw a sign. They saw a vision. They saw a manifestation. They had a feeling. They heard something. That's all that it took. That's all that it takes. Not the word of God. The Bible says try the spirits. What do I try them with? The final authority, the word of God. Don't play with devils. Try the spirits. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. How about that? Holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Amen? They spoke, that's right, it's a spoken word. That's right. Yeah, it is. No. I like the original autographs. I've never seen one before, though. Anyway, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Turn to Joshua chapter 1, verse number 8. We must then follow his word. If it's our final authority, we have to look at it, we have to read it, we have to know it. Amen? The Bible says, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. See that? I think I preached a message on that a while back called The Real Prosperity Gospel. And you should listen to that, amen? If you haven't heard that, listen to that one again. That'll help you. The Word of God is, it'll make you prosper. How to live a prosperous life, amen? That's what God wants us to do. What about these other things then? What about these dreams and visions and other things? What about it? Well, let me ask you a question. Would you not take one King James Bible over 1,000 dreams?
Amen.
Ask yourself, what did Peter say? Peter said, man, I've seen everything. He said, I was in front of Jesus Christ. I walked with him. But you know what he said? We have a more sure word of prophecy. Yeah. Jesus said, blessed are they that didn't see. Right? Amen? They didn't see those things. But they were blessed because they believed. Amen? They believed. You know, I can never go wrong following the perfect words of God. You must try the spirits. We're commanded to. Why? For many false prophets, when I'm telling you, there's so much deception out there today. I had a guy tell me the other day, he came onto my page, he started picking a fight with me. He came on there and was talking about Baptist history. And I've been staying out of fights, all right? I don't have time for them, and I just delete most people and get rid of them, and I block them because I don't have time to fight with them. But he just posted on my, he's like, what about this Orthodox faith? And then he started bashing Baptists, saying, I think the Orthodox have it right. So I was like, oh boy. And you know, this whole thing started, Nate got in on a little bit, and he was like, okay, this is just nuts. And then I was like, well, I think you should just leave my page then, and you know, go somewhere else and take your Orthodox stuff with you, because I don't have time for any of that. The truth is there. I'll give you the truth if you want it, but if you're going to come on here and act like you know everything, then I'm not going to talk. I don't have any time for that. Go do it on your page. Don't do it on mine. The reason why they like to do it on my page is because nothing's going on theirs. So they want to come over to mine because everybody sees it there. I'm serious. That's why they do it. So they come over there because everybody's watching it. They don't have anybody watching their page. Nobody cares what they say half the time. So they'll come over there and do it. And that's where they want to start the arguments. Right, and he posted it right to my wall. And I said, no, I'm not. I'm just going to delete it. I'm not going to mess around with that. You better believe it. We got to define the terms, right? This is what the Lord, yeah, exactly. This was the faith once delivered unto the saints. Amen. That's what I hold to, not some orthodox, whatever you call it. This is the faith once delivered unto the saints. Amen. That's right. With their robes and, what do they call them, phylacteries? Is that what they call them? Yeah, and their infant baptism and everything else. Is it any wonder? And you know what? The same charge he said, I laughed, because the same charge he gave, we have heard from Protestants and Catholics the whole time. You guys just want to be martyrs. You want to be martyrs. That's all you guys want to be. You know what? Go read some Baptist history. Go listen to that. Go listen to that radio show that Nate and I just did yesterday. And you listen to that Rome, the Christians, the enemies of Rome. You listen to that and you find out why we were treated as enemies. And you find out the exact same charge, the exact same thing. It's so funny when people do that, because exactly what we've been preaching on and teaching on is exactly what's happening right there. Well, what happened to that guy? He hasn't tried any spirits. He's just believing whatever he sees out there. You can't find one case of infant baptism anywhere in the scriptures. You can't even find it till about 373 or 473 A.D., I can't remember the exact day. I do have it at home written down, the history of infant baptism or infant sprinkling, because it's not baptism. But anyway, so but try the spirits. Where do you see that at, where you sprinkle babies? Where is that at in the scriptures? Nowhere. Well, nobody's tried the spirits with the word of God. They've just believed what they've heard. So they heard it and they follow it. You know, we're going to see too many people today are trusting in visions and dreams opposed to the plain teachings of the Word of God. We're going to see that in the next message we follow when we talk about the founder of the Seventh-day Adventist. I want to show you something. I got a lot of stuff for you there. You're going to see a lot of stuff. Now, the reason I'm going to show you that, too, is for two reasons. Number one, I got family that are lost and dying and going to hell, and they're stuck in that cult. So guess what? Right after I get done preaching that sermon, we're going to make those CDs up on refuting the Sabbath and this one, and I'm sending it down to my family members so they can hear it. And you know what? Some of you are going to find that you have people that you know that are Seventh-day Adventists or that are stuck in that. They're going to ask you on the street about that. What do you believe about the Sabbath, and do you keep the Sabbath? And they're going to start asking you a lot of questions. And we've already been asked, so we're out on the streets with it. You're going to find people in your life that are going to be Sabbath keepers. They're going to hold to those things that are scripturally wrong. You need to have an answer for them. It needs to be an intelligent one. You need to have a history. By the time I'm done, by the way, I'm just going to cover the founder today. And then Wednesday, we're going to cover the doctrines that we're going to refute with the Bible completely, because they are damnable heresies. They are completely damnable. And they send men to hell. They deceive. That's why you got to try the spirits, though. Their whole system of the Seventh-day Adventist system is based off of visions. The whole thing is based off of visions and dreams. And I'm going to prove it today. I'm going to absolutely slam dunk prove it today, completely. Right, Nate? Amen. About that. Why do they all talk like that? It's that spirit of Jezebel they have. They got that little feminist. It's the Ahab spirit. Yeah, that's the weak one. Yeah, the one that's weak. Yeah. I mean, they're all Oh, wait till you see this godly woman. Wait till you see. It's going to be interesting. Anyway, I better keep going here. But we have a more sure word of prophecy, as the Bible says, by trusting in dreams and visions and not measuring everything according to the word of God. You know what happens? Get seduced. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Well, okay, those are two different things. There's seducing spirits and there's doctrines of devils. Well, how do the seducing spirits come? We just seen that in our text. Try the spirits. There can come in voices and in signs and in wonders and in all kinds of other ways that spirits do that. Whispering into your ear, telling you things contrary to the scriptures, and you just follow them and you believe them because, well, you heard that voice. And I'm telling you, I heard that voice, and that's just got to be the truth. I've had people tell me they were saved. Because why? Well, I was in a train wreck, and I made it out. And I told God that I'd be a good person. And then they go to a Pentecostal church, and those Pentecostals don't correct them. They just smack them in the forehead. That's right. On the side of a toilet, Nate made promises to God. Isn't that interesting? Puking his guts out. How many drunks have made promises to God on the side? God, if you get me through this one drunk! They say, get me through this one OD, Lord, that I about OD'd on and about dead. If you just get me through it, God. And then God got me through it, and that means I'm saved. Heard that before. Amen? It's dangerous. Where's that in the Scriptures say that? Well, how is that salvation in the Scriptures? What did that have to do with Jesus Christ and His atonement? It is death, it is burial, it is resurrection. What did that have to do with him? Absolutely nothing. Nothing. But they still believe that. And I'm telling you what, there's one thing about Pentecostals and Charismatics. You can't talk them out of those signs and wonders, man. I'm telling you. It's got such a seducing spirit over them. They are absolutely seduced with that, man. They will fight you. They will argue with you. If you're on the street and they come up, they want to push love. Like the lady that always attacks Brother Paul and I when we're out there. I'm talking about the one that comes with the man. And she's got that strong Jezebel spirit. Oh, she's got it strong. Oh, she does. He did that too well. Did you see that? You needed that on camera right there. We got to get a movable camera, Brother Aaron. I get to see everything up here, man. People picking their nose, balancing their checkbook, everything, man. It's great. Anyway, but she's trusting, and then that's her. That's what she trusts in. That's what she believes. And I mean, she's all about signs and wonders. You got to give them the love of God. She's just gushing the love of God until she gets challenged, and then she started yelling at us. And I didn't see that love of God anymore. I didn't see it. I was looking for it. Only if you do things her way, then get the love of God. Anyway, but you don't listen, you don't entertain devils. You war against them. Bible says, resist the devil and he will flee. It says, submit yourselves unto God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. You submit yourselves to God. And then you resist the devil. And he'll flee. They'll flee. His kingdom will flee from you. They don't want to be around you. They don't want to be around you when you submit to God and then you resist him. You don't flirt with the devil. You resist the devil. Drawing nigh to God takes place when we have resisted the devil. You don't charm snakes. You don't play with devils. Too much of that going on. All that is charismatic teaching. God's word is what we judge everything by. Listen, if your vision or dream tells you something contrary to the plain words of God, you don't need to give it a second thought. You follow the Scriptures. You don't think, well, I don't know, maybe I could find it in there. No. No, you follow the Scriptures. You know, number three, listening to voices and signs versus Scripture. There are many professing Christians that are absolutely messed up with this today. I've heard with my own ears that they're trusting in voices and outward signs versus the words of God. The Bible says, even him who's coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders. We're seeing a time of signs and lying wonders. We're in it right now. I mean, by the way, it's been going on for a long time. I can take you back. I've been reading a book by a man off and on. I haven't had time to read it completely, but off and on by Pastor Richard Baxter. And he was a Puritan pastor over in England. And back in the 1600s, right around the King James Bible time and a little bit afterwards, okay? About 50 years afterwards as well, I think. And he pastored over there for a long time. And I'm telling you, that man, he talked about signs and things that were going on in England at that time. Now, you got to understand one thing. The devil hated England too, okay? And they didn't want that King James Bible there, all right? They didn't want that being produced there. And there was a lot of crazy stuff going on around that time, man. I mean, I'm telling you. But you don't play with devils, okay? This preacher was very adamant that you rebuke these devils and you do nothing. You have nothing in your home or around you that could be accursed, that could get you into a place where you would be hurt by them. He told a story of a pastor's son that took a book, and this book. Now, what is a pastor's son doing with a demonic book? Well, that's because the devil's troops work harder on those on the pastor and his family and on godly people, because they already won everybody else. They're looking to mess up the saved family, okay? They want to mess up the saved. Now, I don't know if that young man was saved. I'm not saying he was, okay? But his father probably was, and his father didn't probably know that his son had that book and got it somewhere. And he took that book, and the reason why he took that book is because in the book there was a spell to conjure up that would make Satan appear. So he was curious. I want you to think about that. We're not supposed to be curious about those things. That's why the King James Bible calls them curious arts. Remember that? They burn those books. They burn them. They didn't play with them. They didn't sell them to somebody else. They burned them. Why are they curious? Because Satan wants to get you to question those things and think about, well, I want to make it very plain to you that it's very evil and God hates witchcraft. So he took that book and he conjured up a devil. And it scared him so bad that he ran to a friend of his father's that was a pastor. He should have talked to his father. He's probably worried about getting in trouble, of course. But he went and talked to his father's friend that was a pastor. It was Richard Baxter. He talked to him. And Richard Baxter explained to him that he needed to repent and get rid of that book, and you know the devils won't be able to have any contact. Now, some of you may not believe that. Some of you may not believe that devils do those things. Boy, you got a rude awakening coming. God's going to show you sometime. If you scoff at that, you don't think that's true, because there are many men that are possessed out there by devils. Many of them, and you have no idea how many are. Some of you think it's just the flesh. Maybe it's just how evil the flesh is. Yeah. Well, he tells another story of over there there were workers in a mine, okay, and they were mining over there in England. And there was always at a certain time of the day, there was always this strange howling that was going on. The strange sounds of howling. By the way, I don't know if you think John. What's his name? I forgot his name. John Leland was some crazy charismatic preacher. He actually wasn't. Yeah, he was a Baptist preacher. John Leland was in his house, and he left his wife at home, and all he could hear, and every night there would be this loud screeching scream from inside the walls of that home. And while he was gone, his wife heard that constantly. Every night she would hear that, and it would just, you know, she would pray, but it was just very frightening. He tells when he came home from his tour that he heard that, and he went out and he rebuked it in the name of Jesus Christ, and he said he heard the loudest scream. It was just excruciating loud, and it was gone. Think he's lying? I don't think he is. I think he's telling the truth. I think the devils hate you. That's what I think. Amen? I think they do. I think they hate God's word. I think that's why, by the way, I think that's why when you rebuke them in the name of Jesus Christ, that's why they leave. When you're submitted to God, that's why they leave. They don't stay and play with that. They don't want to play with God's word. They can't. It has authority over them. Don't you understand that? It does. Anyway, this man in this mine, he would hear that all the time. And they would hear it every so often, they would hear that scream. Well, he decided he had the bright idea to yell back at that thing and basically rail against it. Didn't the Bible say that Michael the archangel, he had not a railing accusation against Satan. What did he do? What did he do? Are you supposed to yell at spirits? And are you supposed, would you, or should you do those things? Should you yell at devils or devil-possessed people like that? And should you do those kind of things? No. Why? Because he said he brought not a railing accusation against him, but what did he simply say? The Lord rebuke thee. I'm not interested in having a dialogue with the devil. You understand that, right? I'm not interested in having a dialogue with devils. The Lord rebuke thee. Think about it. Anyway, so this man, he decided he was going to rail against it and curse it and cuss at it and do a bunch of things. Those men testified that that spirit came up, and they didn't see it, obviously, but it came up, and it twisted his neck completely around his body. Oh, come on, that can't happen. No, I don't know, there was a maniac of Gadara, and he was demon-possessed, and he ripped chains off, and they couldn't hold him. They couldn't bind him with nothing. Maybe that's made up, too. Maybe God made that up, too. Maybe God's lying to us. Maybe these things really don't happen. Would that be true? Maybe they don't happen now. Maybe it's just all over, and that's not possible anymore. You think? Think that's true? I don't know. Or do you just believe this book? Is it your authority or not? Do you believe these things can occur? Absolutely, I do. I'm not looking for them. I don't want them to. And I'll rebuke them if they ever do. But they happen. And people really do play around with this stuff. Some people don't believe that, though. They believe Satan's bound and he's not doing anything. He's just bound. His kingdom's bound. Nothing's going on. We're seeing a time of these lying signs and wonders right now, or lying wonders, signs and lying wonders, I should say. Wondrous demonic signs that are taking place to deceive people. I had a man tell me that he got on his knees and cried out to God for salvation. He didn't even know Jesus and the atonement really at all. But he said after he was done that an owl came down and looked him right in his eyes. And that was his sign that he was saved. First of all, that would be weird, okay? If I was sitting there on my knees, all of a sudden I looked up and there's an owl like just checking me out, looking at me. Maybe if a dove descended or something, I could believe it. But an owl? You know what? By the way, do you know what the Bible says about owls? I'll tell you what. You go do a word search, okay? When you get time, you go home and you do a word search on owls. And you go see what the Bible says. Now, I'm not saying every time you see an owl, there's something spooky about it. I'm not saying that, okay? I'm just saying, you go do a word search on owls. Just look it up in the King James Bible. See what the Bible says about owls and satyrs and all those other things. Just take a look. Might be interested. Anyway, I know that was a sign and a lying wonder, though. I've had people tell me that they saw crosses that imparted knowledge to them when they were driving down the road, that crosses imparted knowledge to them, and they all of a sudden had this great awareness of what God wanted them to do. They imparted knowledge. You want me to show you what imparts knowledge? You want imparted knowledge? It's right here. God speaks through his word, and he'll give you everything you need to live this life. The Bible tells us the will of God for our lives right in the scriptures, not a lying wonder or a sign. I'm not saying God won't use outward signs, because he can do it, and he has. But to trust in visions and signs is dangerous with no scriptural basis. Ezekiel chapter 13, verse number 6, I want you to consider this. They have seen vanity and lying divination, saying, the Lord saith, and the Lord hath not sent them. And they have made others to hope that they would confirm the word. Have you not seen a vain vision? And have you not spoken a lying divination, whereas you say, the Lord saith it, albeit I have not spoken? I looked at those things, those signs that were supposed to be from God, and I said, well, that's not in the Bible. God didn't speak that to you, so what spirit spoke that to you? Try the spirits. Don't play with devils. 1 Kings 22:20. And the Lord said, who shall persuade Ahab that he may go up and fall at Ramoth-Gilead? And one said on this manner, and another said on that manner. And there came forth a spirit and stood before the Lord and said, I will persuade him. And the Lord said unto him, wherewith? And he said, I will go forth, and I will be a lying spirit in the mouth of all his prophets. And he said, thou shalt persuade him and prevail also. Go forth and do so. That's a hard one to understand sometimes, isn't it? Now therefore, behold, the Lord hath put a lying spirit in the mouth of all these prophets, and the Lord has spoken evil concerning thee. The Bible says to try the spirits. Too many people today are not trying the spirits, but believing signs and lying wonders. The devil can deceive. He's a master of deception. He can throw outward signs. He can have you listening to voices. God speaks through his word. So many people want to hear an audible voice. But we have a more sure word of prophecy. Yeah. He uses conviction and he uses the Spirit of God to lead you through his word. Don't play with devils. If they speak contrary to this book, they're to be rebuked. It's not of God. If some voice tells you something contrary to his word, you cannot find what you heard. And you cannot find what you heard concrete and they're positively in the Bible. It needs to be rejected completely. You don't need to hear any voices. You need to hear this. You need to read this. We're living in times of demonic manifestation. We are in those times right now. But listen, I want to be very clear with you. It is not normal for devils to visit a Christian. Okay? I want to be crystal clear about that. It's not normal for devils to visit Christians. Something's wrong. Okay? It's not normal for them to stick around. For them to feel comfortable there. Unless you've dabbled in the occult and left a lot of doors open, there's no reason for them to ever be around you. Now, they can come to torment or to try it, I'm sure of that. I can understand that. But they can be rebuked in the name of Jesus and they're going to leave. They're not going to stay there. I had one person tell me if they didn't pray for 2 or 3 days, devils would visit them. I want to ask you a question. As a Christian, they tried to convince me that if I don't pray for 2 or 3 days, devils come visiting me. Now, none of us like to admit that we don't pray enough. And none of us here want to admit how many days we've went without praying. I mean, earnestly praying. But I would have to say that there's got to be a few people here that have probably went 2 or 3 days without praying. I mean, not God bless the cornflakes, but you know what I mean. Earnest prayer, right? We can all admit that we've lapsed in some areas in prayer, correct? I mean, all of us? Or is there everybody so spiritual they've been complete prayer warriors? And, man, I'm telling you. Hey, Ben, now don't you think about this, okay? Did you ever have any devils come visiting you because you didn't pray? I mean, that's not regular life, right? That's not like the regular Christian life. I mean, listen, prayer is absolutely important in spiritual warfare, all right? And for the daily life that we live. But God, he tried to convince me that God sent devils to him. God allowed devils to come to him because he didn't pray to punish him. That's not a heavenly father, right? We understand the verses the Bible says the church gives them over to the destruction of the flesh, right? At the end, the soul may be saved. We understand those scriptures as far as leaving them to the world and letting the devil get their flesh and devour their flesh if they're a child of God. But God is not going to be like, okay, you didn't pray yesterday, so I'm going to send demons to your house. Teach you not to pray. That's not God. Amen, that's not the Father. Who is that? That sounds more like the devil. That doesn't sound like God. That doesn't sound like the God of the Bible. That doesn't sound like a Father in heaven. That sounds like, you see what I mean? You've got to try the spirits with the Word of God. Don't play with devils. God chastens his own children. You rebuke devils in the name of Jesus. You don't communicate with them. You don't entertain wicked thoughts and voices. You rebuke things in the name of Jesus Christ. And you pray against the evil and the wickedness. And if you're God's child, they will depart and they will not hang around. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Don't play. You have to resist. And by the way, don't get into a railing accusation. You're not to communicate with devils like that. Again, I want to reiterate that. You see these charismatics acting like they were... Let me give you an example. Billy Sunday was one. He wasn't a charismatic, but he was a Presbyterian or something. So, I don't know, he was a showman. But, he was a showman or something, but... Funded by Rockefeller. Yeah. Ouch. Yes! Okay, anyway. Billy Sunday, he was outside shadow boxing one day, and somebody walked up to him and asked him, "What are you doing?" And he said, I'm punching the devil. No, he said that seriously, and he was dead serious about it, and he was like, in a very braggadocious way, right? That same night, before he was supposed to preach, there was a newspaper that was slid up to him. The newspaper was handed to him, and he opened the newspaper up, and it had a picture of his son on the front cover that had been busted for drunkenness. And it dropped him flat, and he couldn't do anything. He couldn't preach. He couldn't lift his head up. Listen, you don't rail against the devil, okay? You don't rail against devils. You don't do that. What do? You bring, yet Michael the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses, durst not bring against him a railing accusation, but said, "The Lord rebuke thee." See what I mean? You don't get these charismatics that act like they have power over spirits that way, and they're like, "Yeah, and I said this, and I said that," and they're acting all tough. You're working for them. That's why you can talk like that. So they let you do that, so you deceive many people. You're not working for God, because the Bible says very clearly what you're supposed to do. You're not to do that. Be very careful. You need to rebuke the devil. You need to try the spirits. Don't play with devils. Demonic manifestations and things like that devilish manifestations, that's not of God. That's of the devil. And those things need to be rebuked. And that shouldn't be a normal way of life for anyone. I've heard people talk of it as like it's just normal. Like it's just like every day. I mean, yeah, it's no big deal. That's the attitude. That's not the attitude of a child of God. Yeah, the attitude of a child of God is what? Yeah. Yeah, that's right. It's weird. Very weird. Yeah. That's right. That's right. Don't play games with devils. Father, thank you, Lord, for your truth and your word. We pray you'd bless us now. Help us, Lord, to soak it up, understand it, and live thereby it. And Lord, just bless the rest of this day, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right.